When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Hour 2, GBAC Nation, 105.3 The Fan. C-Notes coming up at 3:20. We'll get you up to speed on everything developing in the Cowboys News Day, plus a bit of a preview here for this weekend as well. Time now for your NFL News of the Day, and here's Woolchuck.
Well, the one big Cowboys headline was Jordan Schultz reporting that DeMarvian Overshown did have successful knee surgery. There's hope he could return by mid to late next season, a far more optimistic timeline than initially expected after the diagnosis. So fingers crossed that Demo can be back sooner rather than later and actually have an impact on your 2025 Dallas Cowboys. But good news that that surgery went well. Within the division, Commanders are starting to get a little healthy on defense. Now, Marshawn Lattimore came back, made his debut for the Commandos on Sunday, and he was really, really good against his former team. In fact, he didn't even get a target. They were like, we're not even going to throw at you. We're not going to test you. And he was damn good in his return. 49 of 51 snaps that he played defensively for them, and it did not appear that he had any setbacks with that hamstring that was bothering him. So now they've got actually a stud corner, and it appears Jonathan Allen's practice window has been activated as well. So they could get their stud defensive tackle back just in time from a torn pec for the postseason. So look out for Washington. We've talked about defensively, are they that good? But Jonathan Allen, their best defensive player, you put him back with Deron Payne. Now they've actually got Marshawn Lattimore playing for them at corner. That defense is going to be much better heading into the postseason for Washington.
Yeah, that's big for them, dude. That is, especially for a defense that needs all the help that they can get.
Absolutely.
You know? So that's pretty awesome. I was assuming he was going to be out for the year when he got injured.
Me too. To get this news, that was wild. And it appears the Commanders are a step closer to potentially an RFK return with their congressional funding bill that is passed. So they might be moving out of that poop bowl that they're playing in right now with all the feces and urine that is just falling on all their fans. And they might get a new site built there.
They need it. You know, rivalries aside, that was a once great and proud franchise, and I think they're back on the right track after, you know, the journey that their former owner took them on, Daniel Snyder. But man, I just like what I'm hearing. You know, the Cowboys need losses, you know, and everything Breanna Dick said, you stop winning now, you can still probably have a top 10 pick. And I think that would be big based on the breakdown you guys gave us at 220. That was unsettling as far as how weak this year's draft class is because of a combination of factors, including more guys staying 4 years now. You know,
the money and the stuff. I mean, I don't think
I've ever heard you guys talk about a first round this negatively.
It's certainly the first time that I've looked at a class. And look, I haven't been doing this a long time. Brian's brought me in under his wing, and I couldn't be more grateful to him. But looking at just going based on Dane Brugler's top 50 is what we've been doing. Yeah. I haven't been like blown away by a lot. Like, there's some players that I do like a lot. Don't get me wrong. But there's also, as Brian talked about, there's a lot of warts with these guys, and you could be trying to dodge some minefields here, like, ooh, this is a really big bust potential player. Do you end up weighing, like, I think this is a pretty safe pick. Do I just take that so I don't look back and think, damn, I just got another Taco Charlton here
You never want to draft a wart daddy.
No wart daddies. No wart daddies.
Pretty good there, Chief.
Michael Penix Jr., it's his time. He's replacing Kirk O'Chains, the Falcons' starting quarterback. That's the big news coming out of the ATL, and the decision was made by Coach Raheem Morris. He said, after review, we made the decision to go with Michael Penix Jr. This was a football decision. We're fully focused on preparing the team for Sunday against the Giants. You mentioned, hey, Giants, that's a great team. Go ahead and put him out there, maybe build some confidence. I was a big Penix Jr. fan out of the draft. It's always weird when you're watching a left-handed quarterback. I don't think I'm ever going to get used to that. Anytime I'm watching Tua, it's still weird to me. But Penix Jr. has quite the ability with that offense to slide in. And I saw Tony Dungy put out there, they just got flexed to Sunday Night Football against the Commanders. That could be a de facto, hey, Falcons lose that game, you're out of the playoffs. Maybe you don't win the division, and you're certainly not getting a wild card spot if the Commanders beat you. But he made the reference to when he was in Tampa, I believe it was in 99, that he did the same thing. He went to Sean King, a rookie quarterback. They won 5 of 6. They went to an NFC championship game. And look, obviously, I think if you're Michael Penix Jr., you're hoping my career ends up being much better than what Sean King's turned out to be. But there's at least one example of a team that has done this at this point late in the year with playoff aspirations. We'll see if it works out for the Falcons.
You know, the only thing that gives me a little bit of apprehension is just that they didn't go to him earlier. You know, I wonder what it's looked like in practice.
Yeah, it's fair.
You know, I feel like they were trying to hold out for Kirk Cousins, not just because they gave him the money, but because they thought a veteran gave him the best chance to do it. But a lot of times these rookies will come in and surprise you and give you a significant shot in the arm. You speak about left-handers. It's tough for the wide receivers, too, because the ball fades the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised if you get some drops as the receivers adjust.
Yeah, that's all. And I think a lot of it was, man, we paid Kirk Cousins. We want to try and see this out with him. I mean, according to Spotrac, and over the cap, probably more accurate than Spotrac is, but if they cut Kirk Cousins, they're going to take on a $65 million dead money hit in the cap. If they cut him after June 1, that $65 million then gets split over 2 years, $40 million of dead money next year, $25 million the year after, and even trading-wise, they're going to face a $37.5 million cap hit and then a $2.5 million salary cap space opening. So it's like, man, we're eating a ton of this contract. We did just see Denver do this with Russell Wilson. But the hope is if you're Atlanta, Michael Penix Jr. ends up being a stud and it's okay. But they're going to be eating a lot of money when it comes to this Kirk Cousins contract.
I think the way it works out for Kirk is if this is the end for him in Atlanta, he plays like a partial season and he's going to end up getting paid like $90 million.
It's a big win for him. But he does have his father-in-law now really ticked at him, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you can never get that sort of bad taste out of his mouth.
No, never, never.
And then it's like now you're in an awkward position if you're the father-in-law, dad, big-time Falcons fan. Can I buy a Penix jersey if Penix starts dominating? Like, how much cheering can I do for Penix on a football Sunday? Yeah, I don't know.
I would try to table it like, man, Kirk, you had an awesome run. You know, this was a great career. Congratulations. It comes, you know, an end for everybody. And I don't know. I think the Penix jersey might be on the table, but I probably choose maybe a defensive player for the time being, try to maintain peace in the household.
Get the Bijan jersey.
But as I said yesterday, I don't think father-in-laws ever really trust son-in-law, or there's a little bit of resentment in there. So maybe he wants to troll him.
I love my father-in-law. He's a big-time Tola, so we're just going to give him all the love on this show.
I don't know if he feels the same about you, Wolchuk.
He texts me every night and says, I love you. So,
okay. All right. Well, you're the outlier. Congratulations.
We're big-time homies.
He's trying to just speak it into existence.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Willing it. You're willing
it. My guts. You called it out, man. Patrick Mahomes is practicing. However, he did say that if he's still feeling a little bit of bothering with that ankle, then he might not play on Saturday. And I think that's the way to go. They have full trust in Carson Wentz. That's not a sentence I really thought I would ever say ever again after what we saw his career end up in Indianapolis.
I think that's another speak it into existence kind of situation there from the Chiefs' point of view. They're like, crap, what else are we going to do here?
Hey, they found ways to win with like Matt Moores, and I like Matt Moore as a backup quarterback, but I think
Chad Henne.
They could win. Yeah, Chad Henne, right? He went on like a crazy 90-yard touchdown drive in the playoffs for him. I mean, Andy Reid, they'll scheme it up, but yeah, I don't think they're going to push Mahomes if he's not ready. Now, let's stay on the quarterback conversation. Coach Prime, and this is great. I made sure to tag Bobby Belton, Will Chambers in this because this goes back to their fight. Why Bobby decided, I'm not hanging around. Him and I drive all the way from where we were at Boomer Jack's down there, Webb Chapel area, to Plano, and we're hanging out, and Bobby's there for 2 seconds, leaves because he gets in a fight with Will over Shedeur Sanders going number one overall. We're here with Coach Prime on with Pac-Man Jones, Adam Jones, I should say. He's trying to get away from the Pac-Man nickname. But what do you think about Shedeur, and where do you want him to go?
Raiders slide up to get the number one pick.
Do they have to slide?
Well, they're at number two right now.
Okay, who's one right up now?
I think Giants are number one. Giants, right?
Giants are not going to give up that pick. They're not going to give up that pick. The Giants are not giving up that pick.
Giants pick number one. I know that number one pick.
Shedeur's going to be the number one pick.
If the Giants are the number one pick, who's the number one pick, Pop?
Shedeur's going to be the number one pick.
All right, so Raiders go number two. Who's the number two pick?
See, that's when the game starts to play. That's when you start playing the game. That's when the Raiders could go with Cam, okay? Or it could be some junk in the game and the Raiders could take Trav.
I can see that happening. All right,
or they could slide back.
I'll take you off the hot seat. I just wanted to get you on the hot seat for a little bit.
So we know he's okay with the Raiders. Apparently now he's fine with the Giants at number one overall if they want to take his son as well.
Mm-hmm. Was that an inaccurate report a couple of months ago that he wouldn't want to go to the Giants?
So we had heard. So, yeah. I mean, maybe. Maybe that was absolutely
inaccurate. Yeah, I know the Giants have spent a lot of time in Boulder. I mean, they've sent a crew to go and talk to Deion about potentially what is about to happen with so we'll see
maybe
how
they put some good work in massaging that relationship.
That's what I'm saying. They obviously went in there with the intent of, like, you know, saying, okay, this is how we're going to break this thing down. This is what we're going to try to. I could see the Raiders absolutely taking Hunter and then waiting for their quarterback in the top of the second round. You know, if you don't feel good about
Cam Ward
and those others, I mean, I could absolutely see him waiting for those guys.
Well, we had some pretty good foreshadowing over the weekend with the Heisman stuff in New York City, and you had Shadur throwing the football in the streets of New York to Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
So
that's, you know, true.
I mean,
maybe that was a sign of things to come right there.
That's a nice deal, but it is funny with the GM of the Giants, and he
spent a lot of time in Boulder.
It's like, does he even have a job in 3 weeks?
Sure.
I don't know.
Whispers are saying that likely that the head coach will be gone and the GM stays. That's what's being discussed right now.
How much Shedeur have you guys watched? Is this something that Cowboys fans should think, wow, we have another, you know, terrific quarterback?
I'm sold on Shedeur. I like Shedeur a lot.
I would absolutely worry that you're going to probably have three quarterbacks in this league, in this division, that are pretty darn good players.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his game, man. He can. When you talk about the mobilities there, but he's just got some rear touch. I mean, he's
accuracy,
he's accurate. Yeah. Playmaker outside the pocket, tough. Play breaks down. Yeah, takes some big time hits, gets right back up.
You trust him in a big moment.
Yeah.
You know, like games on the line, put a drive together.
No, he's definitely a baller. It looks like the Jets are beginning their interviews as John Robinson, their former Titans GM, has gotten an interview with the Jets.
I talked to Tom Dimitroff. He interviewed there too.
Yeah, Tommy D. Yeah, that'd be a hell of a hire. I mean, Tommy D's a two-time executive of the year.
Yeah, Tommy D, he interviewed there. So, yeah, good for him. Get an opportunity.
Absolutely. He might. I mean, I'd probably lean him over John Robinson 100% between those two. Buda Baker has signed an extension, becomes one of the highest paid safeties in NFL history with the Arizona Cardinals. That happened late during our show yesterday. 3-year, $50 million extension, $30 million guaranteed. Would have been one of the best free agents on the market. He's going to be staying there in the desert with Arizona. And then here was Devontae Adams. He does his weekly sit down with Kay Adams on the Up and Adams show. Tons of Adams going on, but seriously, who's the one team he didn't want to play for?
Would you ever play for the Bears?
No.
My whole control room just erupted in laughter. No, never. Just a hard no. You would never play for the Bears. Why?
Look, I'm not playing too much longer as it is. So on my last days in this league, after all I've been blessed with, I will not be going to Chicago. I will, like I said, I respect everyone I play, but I'm not playing for the Bears. No.
No Bears. Sorry for Caleb Williams if you ever want to play with Devontae Adams. I respect that. Former Packer, probably hates him.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're a receiver, I just don't think you should ever want to play for the Bears.
Cold and outside.
And that history. It's just like the quarterback. What is going on? Caleb Williams. Is he going to be good? I don't know. Justin Fields. Mitch Trubisky. Ooh.
If you're willing to play for the Jets, though, you should be willing to play for anybody. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, I was thinking organizational failure.
You think he regrets the Jets move?
I think
trade.
He's just regretting leaving Green Bay. I think if he could go back in time, he would have never left the Packers.
So did I. I'm regretting leaving Green Bay, too.
He'd have stayed right there.
Yeah, or maybe he wishes he was DeAndre Hopkins in Kansas City right now.
Yeah. Man, that would have been a nice get, too. All right, there's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Woolchuck. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. The C-Note coming up next. We'll get you up to speed on everything developing here with the Cowboys throughout the day, and that's next in the G-Bag.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them, thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Back Nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Time now for the Cowboys news of the evening. We call it the C-Note. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Hope you're having a good day. If you heard Brianna Dix back there at 340, she's quite confident Tampa Bay has what it's going to take to handle this Cowboys team. And coming off the performance they just had, I think confidence should be riding high for Tampa. They are the better team. Cowboys haven't been good at home either.
No.
You know, still looking to get on track here. Is that a real concern, part of your prediction going into this game, the fact they are playing at home and they've been flat so far?
No, I feel like that there's the home part of it, I kind of understand where that's going, but I think a lot of it has to do with the opponent. my biggest concern, I'll get it at 340, is really this Tampa offense.
Okay.
Because I think there's some things that they do very, very well. Dallas playing better on defense, and they're gonna have to be on it to defend this crew, because there's a lot of things that Baker Mayfield and this offense can do to them.
Styles make fights, and I think this Cowboys team has been susceptible to certain kinds of offenses, and it'll be interesting to get Brian's report here coming up at 3:40 if Tampa is one of those teams that aligns well with the Cowboys' weaknesses, and if that's the case, that'll be unfortunate. It was unfortunate earlier today when Brian informed me that Tank Lawrence is going to be out for the year as the foot just didn't come around. He injured his foot his rookie year, and injured his foot early this season, and they'd been hoping that he could return. Brian even saw him.
I did. I
up
saw
there yeah. getting good work.
I felt like I let you guys down in a way, because just walking by on my way to working with DallasCowboys.com, watching him and Britt Brown, and it looked like he was cutting and doing some of the things that he needed to do. And you know, I was hopeful that, you know, this was probably a couple weeks ago, but obviously, you know, maybe those hard workouts, something happened where, you know, you get soreness and things like that. It just doesn't respond the next day of work. I saw one day of work, or a little bit of one day of a work. So maybe that, but they just felt like for the best for the player, it was better just to call this one a day.
I remember right at the end of Kevin Durant's time with OKC, he had a foot injury and he tried to come back. And in one game we were watching on TV here in studio, he just kind of limped off to the bench, and that was all she wrote. You know, those feet can be really, really tricky. And the scans, for whatever reason, can't identify, you know, these hairline fractures and things as, you know, well, or it can appear to be totally healed, but still be weak even months after, you know. So like multi-year recoveries from this can be possible. We wish Tank, a former, Cowboys interview of the week, did our Cowboys player show with him a couple of years back. You guys were mentioning edge players back there in the 220 as we were talking draft possibilities. That makes me nervous. You know, first round edges, not in the top 10, worse than 50-50 on hit rates, worse than, not worse than quarterback, but worse than every other position when it comes to, is this guy going to have a good career? And, you know, it doesn't take long to bring up the names, but that's how important the position is. Yeah. And the reason those guys are going that high is because they have a burst, or they have traits, they have bend that teams are hoping. And it's worth the risk for them to take, but, you know, the way you guys painted the picture of the injuries and whatnot, I think, you know, the team Tank mindset is one that I resist as the season goes on, especially when you haven't hit your ninth loss. But boy, there's not many better things that could happen right now than losing the rest of these games.
No, and if you're into that mode and you want the best pick possible, yeah, you absolutely need. I mean, I don't know about Zach, I don't want to speak for him, but Abdul Carter from Penn State. He's the best one.
Yeah,
and he's very much like Jared Verse with the Rams.
Yeah.
That's who that guy is to me.
What's the safety class looking like so far? If you keep Zimmer, where are you going to find the quality at that position that it really makes to cap off his defense?
I kind of feel like that Malachi Starks is going to be the top rated. Now, I know there's some others that you know, like I said, I've only watched a couple of them. But Starks is the one that more like Brian Branch than what you would have.
Little interchangeable corner.
I think he's more Kirby Joseph, though, that plays at Detroit than Brian Branch. But, you know, 6'1", 205, I mean, you could play him down the box. You could play him deep. He could trigger really quickly. There's a lot of things. He's a very physical corner, quick feet, ball skills. He's going to be the number one corner, I believe, that's going to be taken. He's a former high school player or quarterback, you know, and so you can kind of see that he has that feel for understanding when he sees things, routes and development, and his ability to react to it. Just a super, super, super tough player when you put the film on about him.
And where is he going to go?
He's going to be a top 10,
top 15 guy. That's what I'm saying.
Has he been hurt?
No, he has not.
No, he hasn't. I mean,
would you guys mind taking a safety first round? Is that too high?
They need one. I mean, Zim does good things with safeties.
I think he's got fewer holes than these edges we're talking about.
I'm not opposed to that. A guy that I think is going to rise, I don't think I've been asked about a player more than him, is Jahdae Barron from Texas. Now, he plays corner. But I wonder if you could play him at safety too, a little interchangeable. I'm interested in Jahdae Barron.
I haven't seen him, but I know I've talked to Bennett about him, and Bennett was the one that mentioned to me, he goes, listen, if he goes, Dad, I know you like Brian Branch. If you like Brian Branch, you'll love this kid. I haven't seen the kid play, and that's why.
He's really good.
He might be better than Starks. But Bennett was telling me, he's like, listen, I watch the guy. He covers, he tackles. You can use him in a lot of different spots. Physical player. I mean, that's and he can really, really run. So those are the things that, you know, I need to look at and see. But yeah, to me, it's all about trying to find a way to limit the problems of the potential busts with that top 15 pick.
And how are we doing over there cross-referencing with positional value, Chief? You all right, safety, middle of the first round, if you can cover?
I would be fine. I mean, I hear Brian Branch, and I'm like, holy smokes, dude. If that ends up proving true after you guys scout him out, then that's a no-brainer kind of selection right there.
Okay, next in the C note, we have John Machota writing a piece posted a couple of hours ago about why Rico Dowdle has been so effective over the last month. Just 120 yards now from 1,000. And that's, you know, a significant benchmark still, even though we have the 17-game season. Started with no better option. You let Pollard go. You signed Zeke. You have Hunter Lipke over there. Then Rico's health. You know, maybe he's figured something out that's allowed him to stay available. And then you go to the coaching staff finally being able to turn the page from Zeke and whatever challenges they had there. And you know, the surprising play of the offensive line as well. Rico says it all starts with the guys up front. So hopefully, you know, as we go now into significantly a better fronts, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to push around Vita Vea this week. But we get to stress test that. And I will remind you, he was getting 4.5 a carry. That was in a much more limited role. But multiple people saying in the piece, Jerry, Rico, Mike McCarthy, that maybe he's one of those guys that can get stronger the more touches that you give him. And I would definitely say he's gotten better and more comfortable in the offense as the season has worn on. And those 10-yard-plus runs are just decimating for a defense. And, you know, they force you to evaluate what kind of coverages and what kind of a defense you're playing. Okay, so what are you hoping, Brian, to evaluate as far as individuals in this final three games of the season? Who are the guys that we need to see more of?
And I tell you what, with the way the injuries are, you've seen them all. You've already, I mean, it's a good question.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, though, the problem that you're running into is that these young guys have had to play. No other team in the league has used more cornerbacks than these guys.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen them all. We've seen 7 different cornerbacks play this year for this football team. You know, we talked about, you know, with the Marshawn Nealands, you know, he's coming back from injury. You need to kind of figure out what's going to happen. Are you legitimately okay with the guard center combinations that you have? You know, I'd like to see, you know, what's going to happen at left tackle. You know, that kid needs to play. And I know that it might be for the, you know, it might be it costing, you know, maybe Cooper Rush some sleepless nights with him playing over there. But yeah, you've seen a lot of the young guys already have to play. And I'm kind of like, just keep finding a way to doing that. There's really no specific position that I'd say, okay, I need to see. Maybe that tackle. Maybe that's the one. But, I mean, I've seen Schoonmaker play better. You've seen some of these corners. I would have loved to have seen, you know, Carson get the opportunity, but the shoulder's too bad. You know, he's not going to play again.
He won't come back.
He won't come back. So I would like to have seen him play. But, you know, you're just kind of, because of all the injuries, you've had to deal with these young guys.
You know, the one guy that they might need to start giving more reps to is Jonathan Mingo. They gave a 4th-round pick for him. They like him, and you have seen nothing from him. And he's not getting a ton of snaps. I think he might have had 13 snaps in the previous game against Carolina.
That's like 10 run plays.
So, and he's a good blocker, but I need to see, like, do you have anything going into the offseason? You need to know more there from your evaluation at wide receiver.
I know myself is I've already moved on from all those guys. I mean, every one of those, Tolbert, Brooks, all those guys, they need to revamp this room. And you're right about Mingo, though. I'm not saying you wouldn't want to see him.
And then they wasted a 4th-round pick, right?
Nobody gets the ball to him. He hadn't had anybody throw him a good pass since Mississippi, you know? I mean, he, Carolina, they couldn't throw him a good pass. That's they haven't thrown him a good pass here.
Well, Blogging the Boys did the three players we'd like to see more of. And every one of them, I feel like, you know, kind of what you said about the wide receiver room applies to them. You have Mingo.
Yeah.
At best, he's your blocking wide receiver, yeah, right? You have Deuce Vaughn. We haven't talked about him since like week four.
I you know, Deuce Vaughn to me, and no disrespect.
11 carries, 33 yards.
No disrespect. I've moved on from him too.
And then quarterback Trey Lance. Do you hope to see him in week 18 or something?
Yeah, they're not going to. I don't think they're going to play Trey Lance just because I think they're going to try and sign him cheap as a backup.
I would rather draft a guy on day three and just take a shot on some quarterback that might have good poise, good reading, and accurate, but doesn't have the cannon or the legs or anything. You know, just to try to find something else there. I think now's around the time on the other side of 30 with the injury history where, you know, you got to be looking at a guy to groom over the next maybe 3 or 4 years that could be a bridge player or maybe a backup. But I also wouldn't be horribly disappointed if they just go again with Cooper Rush, and that's probably the most likely thing.
You know, the thing about it is if Mike McCarthy stays, do you want – You're talking about taking a quarterback like in the fifth round, right? You're not really talking about taking one in the third round or something like that. Okay, because like I said, I mean, you take a quarterback, then all of a sudden you get a new coach or whatever, and then you're dealing with, oh, I don't like this guy, I don't want this guy, and now it's really a big waste is what it is. But I honestly don't think they're going to play Trey Lance because I don't feel like that they're going to try and sign him cheap. This just seems like a very calculated way of getting their backup quarterback here next year.
Somebody asked McCarthy Monday, what traits are you looking for in the ideal backup quarterback? And he said, I want a guy that can run the same offense.
Yeah.
And as Dak gets less mobile, and now with this injury, you know, I think Cooper Rush might fit that bill. Okay, we got to run because Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Coming up next, where are you taking us?
Yeah, let's talk about this Buccaneers offense. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Chebag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We have Bobby Carella talking Mavs for you coming up at 4 o'clock. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Appreciate that. Thanks to Reliant as well for hanging out with us today. We'll check. You getting into this six-man football thing?
Well, they're showing the highlight of the Hail Mary, Galena Park, North Shore, and Duncanville. And, like, we got to be at that game. We were watching that live.
That was awesome.
It's an unbelievable moment. But, yeah, now we've got 1A or Division I football state championships going on, too. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely – I love this time of year.
Yeah.
Like, this weekend is going – Saturday is going to be awesome. We've got two NFL games.
Right.
We got the college football playoff games, and we've got the state championships. This is a blessing for football this weekend.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, they have a lot of folks show up for these championship games at AT&T Stadium.
Longview is going to pack the house, man. They're the team I think that traveled the best out of any years that I've been out there. It literally was the entire city of Longview came out to watch Haynes King and the Lobos win that state championship.
Yeah, that is impressive. So good luck to everybody out there. Have fun. Enjoy that a lot. Okay, Tampa Bay. This offense is a little bit different than maybe what you're used to. And I say that in a way of their ability. They got Mike Evans back, and that really, really has helped their offense. It was a little bit of some struggling going on. This is a team that's beat the Lions, beat the Eagles. Yeah, I mean they've played pretty well. And I kind of look at them. I don't see an 8-6 team. I see a team that's a little bit
pretty good
when you look at. But they've found a way to survive some injuries that they've had along the way. I know Brianna Dix was talking about that and having to be able to navigate that. Yeah. But the last four games, if you look at what Mike Evans has done, he's got 26 receptions for 414 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now he's had some big games the last 3 weeks. And he's one of those guys that's going to They're going to play him in a couple of different spots as you deal with him. He's going to play mainly on the outside, but they're also not afraid to put him inside in the slot. So like 67%, if you're looking at metrics, 67% of the time he's going to play on the outside. And he is, and then that means 33%. I want to ask you guys this question. I am not interested in playing AO in this football game outside. And I'm saying this in a way that not because of what happened in the, because they actually, if you look at Next Gen, they pinned that 80 yard play the other day on Hooker is what they did. When they call nearest defender, they pinned that one on Hooker, but they didn't communicate that well on the outside. I want to ask you guys this question. I'm more interested in trying to maybe play Izzy McQuamu on the outside.
Yeah.
Play Lewis on the inside as he always does, but I'm also interested in kind of mixing it up a little bit where I play Lewis on the outside and Izzy on the inside. Just kind of flip things around and starting Izzy over, say, AO in this game with Bland. Because I feel like that if AO plays this game, they're going to find a way. It's Liam Cohen is going to find a way to match Evans up against AO. And I think that's going to be a real problem. Would you guys be interested in maybe starting Izzy out there with the length that he has, the competitiveness that he has out there, and then maybe mixing it up a little bit with Jordan Lewis playing some on the outside against him? Would you be interested?
Yeah, because I kind of like Lewis maybe against the rookie McMillan. That might be a solid matchup for him.
Yeah.
But I like what you're saying there with Izzy. I mean, Izzy, that wild card game against Tampa.
Yeah.
He played in the slot and was absolutely fantastic the way he moved around for that size. I've always wondered, and maybe it's just a smarts thing, an IQ thing at times. But yeah, I'm for giving Izzy some look here.
Yeah, definitely over AO. I'm totally in on that. I mean, you mentioned the body type and how that kind of pairs well going up against Evans. And then you just kind of see how it plays out. If he's getting torched, then, hey, Jordan Lewis, you might need to do something here.
Yeah, I will say this about McMillan. I think he's, again, Brianna talking about, I think he's come on. But he's had 40 targets this season. But he's also the most interceptions have been thrown his way. 40 targets, 5 interceptions. So, you know, is this a guy? Yeah, they might be trusting him a little bit more. But I kind of feel like, though, if it sounds like to me, and just kind of watching him play, that a rookie's kind of struggling a little bit there. If Baker Mayfield tends to go his direction and all of a sudden you've got in, that's the most on the team. And 5 interceptions his direction. I don't know. And maybe some of it has to do with Mike Evans being out and stuff like that. But I don't know if you fully trust a guy like that. And can you get away with coverage on a guy like that?
You can try.
I mean,
I'm a big fan of his game. I loved watching him at Washington.
Sure. No, he's a good college player.
But to your point, it seems like these last few weeks, him and Baker are starting to get more on the same page.
So more on the same page.
So maybe that was kind of just like a guy that you're not used to playing with a ton early on. That's interesting, though. I mean, maybe that is a guy that you can kind of double Mike Evans and say, hey, force him to beat you.
I would say let's see if McMillan can beat you in this football game. And then maybe you play some coverage and direct that the way to Mike Evans' side and try and get that taken care of.
Well, I mean, so McMillan's usually out of the slot?
He can be, yeah.
He can be.
Or maybe they move him around a little bit, too.
They got Sterling Shepard on this team that kind of plays out of the slot a little bit more for them.
I mean, McMillan, 9 catches, 134 yards, 3 touchdowns, 13 targets since week 14.
Yeah.
So he is starting to click a little bit. But that passing game in general makes it tough on you.
Makes it very tough. All right, when you start to talk about the passing game, it's Baker Mayfield, as we all know. What's interesting about Baker Mayfield is when you watch him play, he's got the second fewest air yards per attempt in the NFL at 6.3, but he's got the 8th most yards per attempt. So you can see the run after catch is big with these guys and the way that they play. He's also got the second highest completion percentage in the league at 71%.
Yeah, it's designed that way. It's not like, I'm just checking it down and we'll see what we get. It's like, no, this is designed for you're going to get the ball out quick, 5 yards down the field, and it's set up for the guy to go make a play yak style.
Okay, this is where they hurt you. They hurt you with the back, throwing the ball to the backs in the flat.
Ouch.
Flat is a big, big deal for these guys. Now, let me ask you this. After you saw what
Chase Brown
did to you, are you concerned about what's going on with these backs? Because between these two backs, I think they've had 4 drops, but they've had 80 receptions.
Yeah, Bucky's really strong as a receiver, and Rashad White is a good receiving back.
Yeah.
So that's going to test your rookie, Maris Leafau. I think you feel good about Kendricks, but, I mean, maybe if he gets matched up in a weird position, we saw the amount of running he's had to do at times, and physically is he able to get out there in space.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely could be an issue.
Huge test for the defense, though, as, you know, they get a chance here, and it's the teams that can marry those routes with the blocking concepts that all sync up, and then, you know, the guy's gone. I guess there is an advantage that Trayvon Diggs isn't playing, so maybe you get a better tackler in there at least.
Yeah, I do worry about them throwing the ball to these backs. I will say this, though, that when I went back and watched all the sacks that they gave up.
Sack compilation.
Their backs do not protect particularly well. And they had a problem when they were down when Gadecki was not a tackle at right tackle, and they had to play with Justin School. Justin School is a backup who's given up 7.5 sacks. This year.
Justin School.
Yeah. And so when he had to play, like, the teams went after him.
Okay.
But this group has done a much better job with protections. But what's happened is if you play on the edges with these guys, they tend to lean. They tend to lean forward. They get forward on their toes. With the wider you play, I watched the Broncos game, which was really, really eye-opening for me. Broncos got a good defense. But what they did was they brought a lot of secondary pressure, a lot of linebacker pressure, and then they played their techniques a little bit wider on the defensive line, and it caused these Buccaneer offensive linemen to have to lean a little bit to go get them. So maybe Dallas thinks about a little bit wider with this up, but we've seen Dallas have some success with some secondary blitz.
Hmm.
With Jordan Lewis getting home, Donovan Wilson getting home. Don't be surprised if Mike Zimmer sees that, watches that Broncos game, and kind of dials some things up on that one.
This is like an IQ test, though, for their OC Cohen, though. I mean, if he's really paying attention, you stay out of that as much as possible.
Absolutely.
And you run all over these guys.
Yeah, that's where Bucky Urban is going to come in this game. And you know, Bucky Urban's averaging about 5.6 yards a carry.
Oh, my gosh.
And that puts him in the area of Saquon Barkley, who's 5'9", Henry, who's 5'8". And Gibbs, who's 5'6". Dallas has faced all these guys this season. But you've got, with Bucky Urban, you've got an explosive runner.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 20 runs of 10 yards or better on 152 carries. Wow. He didn't have the carries of these other guys, but he's got, so that means 13% of his runs are explosive plays. You know, he's also had 685 yards after contact. He's had a total of 852 yards. So 685 of his yards have come after contact.
Yeah, so I feel like we could be in for a 40 burger. This might be flashback to reality with a devastating 3-4 score loss.
Yeah, it could be a little bit of a problem. This guy's going to make you miss tackles, but he's also, where they run the ball primarily is between the tackles. That's where he makes his hay. Like, if you look at 54% of his runs have been, and I was watching the tape, have been between the tackles. Just to give you an example, Rico Dowdle's 64% of his runs. Brandon Jacobs is at 64%, and Bijan Robinson's at 69%. Those are the top running backs when it comes to running between the tackles. And so Dallas is going to have their hands full with that concept with him running.
Let's go, Mozzie. Yep. Linville Joseph.
There you go.
Kendricks Leafau. Going to be a big game for them. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And he'll take a look at that Tampa defense for you tomorrow in depth. Krusty's Corner 340 brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Bobby Corella, All City Dallas. We'll talk Mavs with him next, The Nation.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.